The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus had made an appearance to two of the disciples on the road to Emmaus, and they have returned to the other disciples. And it begins, while they were talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened, and why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I, myself. Touch me and see, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy, they were disbelieving and still wondering. He said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with the power on high." The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. I invite the young people not to come forward, but to come with me and meet me at the baptismal font. So I got tricky today, huh? So if you want to just gather on your knees here, I want to show you something. Last time we talked about that Jesus' resurrection changed everything, and it changed the day in which we worshiped. So we talked about how last week Jesus rose on the first day of the week. He rose from the dead, and so we worship on the first day, on Sunday, not the Sabbath, the traditional Jewish day. But I want to look at the baptismal font here because it shows us something very interesting. You may not have noticed this before. What do you see here on the front? Can you see that? What is it? What kind of flower does it look like? Huh? Looks to me like an Easter lily, huh? Like we have. What do you think? Think that's it, Anders? You were half right, a lily. But we put out lilies on Easter as a sign of Jesus' resurrection. Those are embedded in that. And how many sides are around here does it have? It has eight. And do you know why it has eight sides? They symbolize something. No? Okay. Well, the earliest Christians understood the day of resurrection to be the eighth day of creation. God created the creation in 7 days, and then there was the new creation that comes in 8 days. So it is the sense that when we are baptized, that is the beginning of the eighth day of creation for us. And you will find this throughout all kinds of ancient baptismal fonts. Last fall, when I was on vacation in France, I visited the Church of Our Savior, ironically, in the town of Aix-en-Provence. And they had discovered recently the very earliest baptismal font, and it was really a hole in the ground, but it was an eight-sided hole, and they believe that came from like the second century there, that's how long that had been here. So this eight-side baptismal font is a very ancient symbol of the earliest church. So you can remember that when in our baptism we are baptized into the new creation, the eighth day of creation. Amen. You can return to your seats. So how has your week gone? That week of releasing others from their brokenness. That was my interpretation last week as Jesus was sending his disciples and sending us as well out to forgive sins. And that forgiveness was more than just the words, your sins are forgiven, but it was, in fact, actions that go with that, that are actually releasing people from their own brokenness. I had an experience of being released from my brokenness this week. I went to Dr. Guido's office on Tuesday morning, and my front teeth had some chips, my uppers had some chips in them, and in order to kind of restore it a bit, he put a crown on my front teeth. So I think he wants me to smile for you today to show you what a good job he did. That is, in a little way, some of that sense that goes beyond just leaving people stuck in their sins, but releasing them from their brokenness. And that can happen in a number of ways. Many of you in this congregation work in healthcare or in education, sometimes in supportive roles of that, but I think it's relatively easy to see how in those kinds of professions, your daily work is releasing people from their brokenness. But I'd like you to think about the bus drivers that drive all the buses around that are a part of the transportation system here, to think about how their work releases people from their brokenness. I actually think if you're a bus driver and you're running the same route, it would get pretty boring to do that all day long. But there are probably other people who like that. But it is important what they do because they get people to places of work and places of business without having to use a car. And that benefits people who are low income. It helps to release them from those obstacles that might be there in their lives. It also helps students to get to classes, to get to events that they need to do economically. Driving those buses is really good for the environment in that it puts less of those hydrocarbons into the air. And it certainly means a bonus for this community, the Purdue, that everything isn't a parking lot out here, that there are other things that are here that contribute to our well-being. So think of bus drivers and their daily work are also releasing us from some of that brokenness that can come in life. And that's a way of looking at our life, a way of seeing. In today's gospel reading, Jesus gives his disciples a new hermeneutic. And that hermeneutic, that word means a way of interpretation or a way of seeing and understanding. It's kind of like you can, in my glasses, I have bifocals. And if I look at the top part of them, I see one thing. And if I look under the bottom part of them, it's a different thing that I can see. And depending on the situation, one part works better than the other part. But it's the same thing that I'm seeing. Well, this new hermeneutic that Jesus gives to his disciples to understand Scripture is suffering, death, and resurrection. And it says he opened up the Scriptures to his disciples to show him how what he did is what God has been doing all along. Abraham and Sarah were good as dead. They were that old when God called them to leave their comfortable place, their comfortable land, and go to a new place based on a promise that they would have many descendants. And the Hebrew people were slaves in Egypt for 400 years. It seemed that God had forgotten them. They were as good as dead as a people. Yet God heard the cries of their suffering and lifted them up out of the land of Egypt. The prophets and their words were often rejected, and the prophets died having not seen any benefit from their words at all. Yet God raised those words up, and they give life today in that Old Testament. They continue to give life to people throughout the world. This is what God has been doing for a long time, leading people through suffering, death, and then raising them up to new life. This is the abundance of God's love, God's action in love for us and for all people. Now, here's the question about the resurrection. Why is it so important that the risen Jesus has a body? Now, that body is a bit mysterious to us because it's physical. His disciples can touch him. He has flesh and bones, but yet he gathers behind locked doors. How did he get in? You know, it is physical, yet Mary, when she meets him, thinks he's a gardener. He doesn't stand out. And the disciples on the road to Emmaus don't recognize him at all until he breaks bread with them. It's physical, yet at one point he tells Mary, "Don't touch me." And in our reading today, Jesus says, "Touch me and see that I have flesh and bones." Given all of that, it's clear that his body is somehow a little different, but he is embodied. We tend to neglect things that don't matter. Little details are often overlooked, left out of stories when they don't matter. Yet the gospel writers go to great lengths to tell us that Jesus had a body, a physical body, that Jesus was a bodily resurrection. And so what does that mean? What does that mean for us? Well, here's what I believe is the hermeneutic at work in the bodily resurrection of Jesus. The bodily resurrection of Jesus means our bodies matter. That is, we are whole persons, body, mind, and spirit, and we function as a unity, and that matters to God. Now, each of us has our own strengths and weaknesses with our body. Each of us has our own particular gifts, but this body is important. It's what God has given us as our home here and now. And this body, because of the resurrection of Jesus, becomes a temple of the Holy Spirit. So our body matters. And as our bodies matter, so does the physical world that we live in matters. It is God's good creation. Yes, it's been spoiled by sin and evil, yet it is still God's good creation and given to us to be cared for, and not just to maintain it or to protect it, but to make it be fruitful, to bear fruit, to make it better than the way we found it. This is taking seriously this goodness of creation, and the way we care for that first creation also indicates a way that we'll care for the new creation. And just as our bodies matter, and just as the physical world matters, our relationships to that physical world matters as well, our relationships with each other. It tells us that we are to care and nurture those relationships, but not just as friendships, but rather we are called into the life of Christ to be light in the darkness of sin. We are not to be perpetrators of that darkness, but we are called to be agents of God's light and love. Now, the physical resurrection of Jesus means he keeps making appearances to us in physical forms. Jesus comes to us in baptism, in the physical element of water, and joined with the Word, Jesus comes and joins us and claims us for that new creation, cleanses us from sin, and begins us on that journey of life in which we embody the life of Christ. Jesus comes to us in Holy Communion in the elements, the physical elements of bread and wine. Jesus feeds us on the journey. He feeds us with the fullness of himself so that we can have life in his name. And Jesus comes to us at the table when we eat our meals. These are not sacraments, but they are sacramental. These are ways in which God nourishes us as whole persons, body, mind, and spirit, for the life that he calls us into. These are ways that God nourishes us with everything we need for life. See what love the Father has given us, that we would be called children of God. And that's what we are. In the bodily resurrection of Jesus, he has claimed our whole lives with his love, our whole persons, everything about us, everything in creation has been claimed by that love and is being made new, in that love. Because of the bodily resurrection of Jesus, our gathering every Sunday matters. It is that we come from all our various places as individuals and as separate households, and we gather on Sunday morning, and in this gathering, Jesus is embodied. He is embodied as a witness to the world of the truth of his resurrection, of the truth of the new life he gives. We become that body of Christ. And we live out the ancient liturgy in our physical bodies as we are then sent out at the end of the service. We are sent out with that light of Christ. And in many ways, to be Christ to people out in the world. Not to take away Christ's place, but to share that light and love in all the world. And we get to embody that. That's what I think that bodily resurrection of Jesus is important. To tie it in with last week's sermon, I talked about how here and now matters because of the resurrection of Jesus. That our faith is not a faith that we just wait until we die, go to heaven, but here and now matters. And I would say to you this week, our bodies matter. Our physical presence matters in the world. And it is the way in which God is transforming the world through suffering, death, and resurrection. God continues to give new life, and we are agents of the new life. What more can we say with this good news than simply, thanks be to God. Thanks be to God for this gift, the bodily resurrection of Jesus, and all that it affirms about our life here and now. Amen.